Welcome to the Dr. April Jasper Show, relevant conversations for business owners of today.
Are you looking for a nutritional supplement to help with your day-to-day vision needs? Look no further than MacuHealth. Recommended by doctors worldwide, MacuHealth offers a full line of products designed to support your vision and eye health. Available through eye care professionals on Amazon.com and directly on our website at MacuHealth.com. And here's the best part. Use the code OME24 when ordering direct from MacuHealth for special discounts. MacuHealth, nutrition you can see.
Hi, everyone. I'm here with Dr. Harvey Hanlon, and we are excited to be together.
Again.
And yeah, when was it? We were together at Bond.
Yes, that was a little over a year, less than a year ago, actually.
It's hard to believe. Yeah. Brain and ocular nutrition. And I guess there's a big announcement about that. What is the announcement, Harvey?
Well, Bond is coming to America. It's going to be up in the Boston area in June of 2025.
Will our listeners be able to attend? If they pay?
If they pay to be a member of Bond.
Okay. Well, yes. We'll tell you more about that later. But today it's all about Harvey, and I begged him to be a guest on the show because, Harvey, I didn't tell you this, but there was a day when you were so intimidating to me because you're this AOA president guy who's had two practices. One was gigantic, as far as I'm concerned, and have done so much with Vision Source and other groups. And you're just an all-around amazing guy. And so when I first met you, I'm like, oh my, I don't even know if he'll ever talk to me.
Well,
so I just want you to know how amazing I think you are and what an influence you've had on so many of us. And
thank you
for spending a minute with me.
Sure. I've been very blessed. It's been a great career.
So let's start there. How did you even get started in optometry? Tell everybody a little bit about the beginning, and you can go wherever you want with that.
Well, I mean, I wore contact lenses as a kid. When I was in first grade, I got my first pair of glasses.
Oh,
I had no idea that there were leaves on trees that were sharp and clear. And when I got them, it was amazing. And subsequently got contact lenses and was very interested in being in healthcare. I actually, unlike many people, I wanted to be an optometrist from the time I was in 10th grade.
Oh my gosh, that's cool.
So I actually only was interested in going to optometry school.
And you did just that?
I did just that.
So tell us about, let's walk through some of the highlights of your career. You went to optometry school, then what?
So I went to undergraduate at the University of Maryland and attended then Pennsylvania College of Optometry, now SALIS. Soon to be Drexel.
Wow.
The times change. And when I graduated in 1974, which is probably longer than most of you listening have been born.
I was alive then.
I went into private practice in State College, Pennsylvania. And I went in with a doctor who had been there for many years, also graduated from PCO 25 years before me.
Wow.
And have been in the same town for 50 years, which is very unusual.
Yeah, that's so cool, though. Yeah, so it was the two of you to start?
Two of us. He was a solo practitioner. I came in with him. We had a couple of locations. We practiced together for 20 years and got to the point that he wanted to not make changes, and I wanted to make changes. So I did what you should do. I bought him out. He worked for me. And we continued our private practice. And after that, when he retired, we then merged four practices together to create a large practice with multiple locations.
Oh, my gosh.
And I practiced there for 10 years, and it got too big for me. I thought we lost some of the personal approach with patients. So I actually retired. And after 3 years, my wife and I decided we wanted to do it again. So at age 60, we bought a building and had a whole new practice and did that for 12 years. And 3 years ago, come July 1st, we sold our practice to a young couple who continues to do very, very well.
Wow. That is a really cool journey. I remember another moment that you may not, because things like this just stick in my head. But Harvey actually crashed a meeting that I was in that was a women's optometry meeting, and he just walks right in the door. He sits down and he says, "What are we talking about today?"
It was an interesting meeting because it was...
He does remember.
It was a meeting of like practices, if you will. Yeah. So I was just opening a new office. So unlike being in a large existing practice, I had a brand new practice. Yeah. When you're at a practice for 3 years, you actually have to start over.
Wow.
Everybody thinks it all comes to you, and that's not true. So I'm in this room, and every practitioner in the room was a young female.
Right.
And I remember because the chairman of the committee was Millicent Knight.
Yes, I remember.
And Millicent looked at me, and she said, "Why am I running this meeting? Why aren't you running this meeting?" And I said, "I'm a new practitioner. I just opened a new office, so we're all in the same boat." So it was a very, very good time.
It was. It was a great time. And it wasn't really a women's meeting.
No.
It just happened to be you were the only guy.
I was the only guy.
And what I remember about it is we made a commitment in that meeting to talk about the things that mattered, even though they might not be exactly about optometry. So do you remember some of the most challenging parts of that conversation?
I'm not sure I do.
It was stuff about kids.
Well, what was
interesting
bringing
them to work with you.
What was interesting about that for me is that at that point in time, I was 60 years old.
Right. Your kids were grown. My
kids were grown. And most of the women, they were either thinking of having children, pregnant, or just having children, and how do we deal with that in our office? Well, honestly, that wasn't an issue I had to deal with, but it was an interesting issue to talk about.
Yeah, so. And you know what? It probably made you relate to your employees and
Absolutely.
Understand
sure.
more.
Yeah, it's that's the real world.
It is.
That's what it's all about.
For one reason or another, there's more women going into optometry school now than before. I don't know what the reason is. Maybe somebody
I think
has it
the profession
out.
Lends itself to that. The profession is such that you don't have to be on call all the time, 24/7. You can share that. You can do it in different ways.
Right.
You can practice part-time and still be successful. We're in the healthcare field, but we're not in traditionally emergency care constantly.
Yep.
Do we get emergencies? Of course we do, but it's not the same situation. So optometry has always been a wonderful profession for not only all of us, but it's a great profession for women.
So tell me this, Harvey, let's go back to that premise, which is we just want to talk about the things that are real issues, real problems that people are facing today. When you think back to every one of those practices, because technically it was like three practices that you were
it
in.
It was, yes.
And sort of from beginning to end, you know, and got to see all of that, those stages three times. So tell us, what are some things that happened that you would say were good, you would do it again, and then tell us what's something maybe that you did and say, I would never do that again.
Well, I always would have done it again as far as being in independent private practice, because that's what I want to do. I, as my wife says, you would not be a very good employee, and you don't want to work for anybody else.
Okay.
Which is true.
She knows.
She knows. And so I think I would have done everything I did again very similar. I think what we learned is the landscape has changed. And what I mean by that is if you're an independent private practice and you're an independent business owner, you're going to have employees.
Right.
Employees can be difficult. Employees can be wonderful. I was very blessed with my employees that we're more like family, and you treat them the way you want to be treated, so then it's easy to do. I find that some doctors play doctor too much, and although I'm not a believer that you go socialize with your employees a lot,
right.
I believe that you have to respect them, because without them, you don't exist. You can't run your practice without your staff. So that's the part that's always going to be there. The changing landscape today, I think, that's really been difficult is managed vision care for practices, because they're controlling a lot of what we do in our business. They're controlling a lot of what patients think they can get and don't understand what their benefits are.
Right.
It's the one area, not seeing patients anymore, that I don't miss at all. I don't miss insurances at all. I'm back from an age that we really didn't have any insurance.
Right.
Because when I got into practice, there was no vision
so
insurance.
What was your biggest challenge then? If insurance wasn't it, then what was it?
I think the challenge was making sure your patients felt that what you were providing for them was different and special and that they were special.
I love it.
You need to be different. You don't want to be like everybody else, which is why today we have such wonderful technology. If you don't do the newest and latest and greatest testing with the newest technology, who are you? You're just another average doctor.
Right.
So, you know, I remember everybody, we look today and we say, okay, I remember when we first got a computer in our practice.
Oh, wow.
And my senior partner at the time didn't want a computer.
Oh, you know,
why would we do that? We had paper books to keep our record. We had three appointment books for the next 2 years. It turned out it was the best thing we ever did.
Yeah.
But when it came to the technology, I think I remember when the very first OCT was introduced. And
yep,
I thought that was way above what we were going to do. I have to tell you, after practicing for as many years, that was the most important instrument I ever owned.
And we didn't even know it.
And we didn't know it at the time.
That's right.
So there's lots of new technology, but the reality of it is you have to pick and choose. You can't do it all. You need to pick your niches, whether it's dry eye, whether it's retina, whatever it is, specialty contact lenses. You need to do the things that you're comfortable with and you're good at. You don't want to dabble in anything. You need to become the expert in that area. And if you don't provide that, you need to reach out to your colleagues who are.
Yep.
That doesn't make you less of a person. It makes you actually a better person, wanting to make sure your patient's getting the best care in that area.
We are excited to have CooperVision as a sponsor of our podcast. CooperVision is one of the world's leading contact lens manufacturers, and they serve eye care professionals and patients in over 130 countries. Their innovative products help millions of patients see every single day. One of the technologies and innovations that we love the most about CooperVision is their groundbreaking technology in soft contact lenses that helps to slow the progression of myopia in children 8 to 12 years old at the initiation of treatment.
Yeah, so you guys, Harvey, we had a chance, our families, to spend some time together.
We did.
And when we did, one of the things I knew already about you, but I really learned, is how much you really, really want for other people to succeed. And so when you talk about that, and you say that, that's good advice. We all need to hear it. But now I want you to take it a step further. You mentioned something that I think I want you to say a little more about. How important were your colleagues, your friends, to you in being successful in business and being successful in your practice? And what are your words of wisdom there?
Well, my colleagues were critical.
Yeah.
I think too many of us worry about you can't share things with your colleagues.
Yep.
And that's not it. You should be sharing a lot of things with your colleagues. The way you do a better job and you're more successful and more fulfilled is being able to branch out and be able to lean on other people for what their expertise and what their caring is. And so, you know, it would never bother me for a doctor to open up next door to me.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Because if what I'm providing for my patients is special, they're still coming. And so it matters not where that is. But I think we all have to embrace each other more in our profession, because there are different outside factors that are nipping away at our businesses and nipping away at what we do. And optometry is a critical cog in the wheel of healthcare. Yeah. We need to be the primary care doctor for eyes for our patients. That's the entire gamut. And one of the areas that I think a lot of us forget about, that I'm involved with a lot, is nutrition and how it affects our vision and how it affects our cognitive function and how it affects our general overall health. And I think if doctors spent a little bit more time with their patients, and I'm a little different than most doctors, I think they would do a better job. Most doctors see a lot of patients every day. I practiced for almost 50 years. The highest number of exams I did in one day was 9. And when I was told you can't make a living seeing 9 patients, I would contend that's 100% wrong.
And you said, watch me.
I did. I was told by a doctor, if you don't see 25 exams in a day, you'll never make a living.
Wow.
I promise you, I did just fine for 50 years.
Yep.
And my patients felt better because I spent significantly more time with them,
yeah.
became closer with them. And to this day, not being in practice for almost 3 years, I still, my wife and I still see patients at the grocery store and the drugstore. And we still talk, and I remember them. And I remember their families, and I remember what they went through.
That's right.
And I was blessed that I found a wonderful couple to buy my practice so that life became easy, because now when I see my patients, they don't say, what is that doctor you got in
right.
there for?
They because, carry on your
because
legacy.
Because they love her. And
oh, that's so good.
So it's been an easy transition for me.
You sort of jumped into it, but let's touch on it. What do you think the biggest opportunity is for an optometrist today?
Wow. I think the opportunity is to build a practice that's significant in providing the quality of care that patients need. I've
yes.
always said this, if you always do what's right, everything follows.
Yeah.
So you don't do it predicated on money, you do it predicated on care. The money will follow. You'll do just fine financially.
Yeah.
But you'll feel better about yourselves and what you provide to the patient. So I think today's opportunities, everybody says, well, independent private practice is dying. I think the counter, I think independent private practice is stronger than it's ever been. And if we continue to do what we're doing and do it better, we'll always be successful.
I agree. That's why we do this podcast, because people like you, Harvey, you sit here with me and you tell people, look, I've been doing this a long time. It's only gotten better.
Yep.
And the only reason you decided to take a break and not do it anymore was because, hey, 50 years is a good run.
Yeah, it's a little difficult to say, okay, I'm 75 years old now. So as my wife and I say, how did we get here? How did we get that
yeah.
old? But the reality of it is we've been very blessed. It's been yeah. a wonderful career, and I've been very, very lucky.
And so. you've made it look fun all along the way.
It is fun.
So I'm going to have you the hard question. Here you go. You ready? What is our biggest challenge? So think of a new student. You know, our daughter, David and I, our daughter, Allison, is in optometry school. And we just started a segment called For Students by Students. And they're asking me questions. And one of the questions they want to know an answer to, so I'm going to throw it at you, is what is their biggest challenge? What do they need to be thinking about when they get out of school?
Well, unfortunately, today's students are in a sort of a pickle in that the amount of money that most of them owe when they graduate
yeah.
is significant. And when you owe $200,000 or $250,000 in college loans, it doesn't afford you the opportunity to be freer in what you're doing in practice, because yeah. you still have to pay your college loans back. That creates a difficult situation, because now you have to think about that income significantly at the beginning, and it may not afford you the opportunity of a private practice where a practitioner can't afford to pay that much in
right.
a salary.
Yep.
And so students, graduates, are now driven into environments that they may not want to be in, but they have to be in for at least a while.
Yeah.
I think I'm disappointed that optometric education, as all education, has gotten ridiculously expensive.
Yeah.
And it's put a lot of people at risk for when they graduate. If they can get over that, they have a wonderful potential.
Right.
And they need to get to that point.
That was actually the last question she asked, was what do we do about the student loans? What do we do about the money? Because some of them in school right now are stressed out about it already.
Sure.
And so my counsel to her was, you can't worry about it right now, but don't spend anything you don't have to spend.
Correct.
Just buckle down and do your schoolwork, and yeah. don't go out and buy a Lamborghini.
That's correct. You need to mind your P's and Q's now. And then what I tell people all the time, one of our problems in America is we live on 110% of what we make.
Right.
You need to be really diligent in what you're doing. And if you can get over that hump with the student loans, and a lot of them are young when they graduate, the future's really, really bright.
Amen. All right. Couple more questions. You ready? One is best piece of advice you ever got. And it could be as a kid. It could be in college. It could be last year, last month, today.
So the best piece of advice I ever got, it turns out it was when I was AOA president. And I was told by a past president, when somebody comes to you and says, I need an answer right now, the answer is no.
Ooh.
Because if you don't have time to think it out and weigh the pros and cons before you make a decision, then you're not, you shouldn't make a decision.
Very good.
So, and I've always used that.
You've probably used it in your office. I know I have.
I've used it many times.
I've told my employees, don't come rushing at me with an emergent need. You right. don't have any emergent needs in this office. There right. is nothing that requires us to lose our minds. Yeah. You know,
I love it when people ask me a question and my out now is, I got to talk to my wife.
I love that. That's good.
So I think that's probably the best advice because that scans across all horizons.
It does.
It's not just practice, but general life.
That's good. All right. Then the fun one. You ready? I love this one, too. You guys have traveled a lot. Your wife is amazing, and the two of you have so much fun together, I can tell, just from the time we've spent with you. So one of your favorite places you guys have been, favorite trips, tell me about it.
Tuscany.
Wow, that was fast. Tell me why.
Well, I always wanted to go there, and when we made the decision, because she doesn't fly well, so this was not easy for her, but we wanted to do the area of the wine country in Tuscany.
Right.
Now, we did the traditional Rome and things like that, but we had a villa in Tuscany for 10 days and traveled to the little villages around there, small vineyards, the olive, I mean, all of the areas there, which
wow.
was just absolutely wonderful.
Yep.
So we really loved that trip. I mean, we had a wonderful time with you and David in Dublin.
It's okay. I don't feel
bad. In Dublin, we had a wonderful time together.
Yes,
but this was, that was one day, unfortunately. I wish we would have had a week with you all and traveled the entire country. But that was a wonderful trip to Tuscany that I'll never forget.
I love that. Is that maybe a word of advice you'd give people is make sure you have some fun times too?
Always. Always. When people tell me they can't afford to go away, my answer is you can't afford not to take time off.
That's good.
You're going to get burned out. If you think working yeah. 5 days a week and three nights is good, it's not good.
Nope.
And it can not only drain you, but drain your family life and everything yeah. else. So
it's not something to brag about.
No, not at all.
I hear people bragging about seeing 40 to 50 patients in a day, and that's not okay. I've done it once a couple of times a year if I have to because yeah. so many emergencies came in, but it's not okay.
If we talked about increasing my schedule and adding an appointment in the morning and the afternoon, my wife said, absolutely not. You can't possibly see that many patients because you don't stop talking with your patient and you're not going to be an hour behind. So it's interesting. I was almost never behind in practice.
Wow.
Because of how much time I had scheduled with patients.
That's good.
So it was wonderful.
You guys, this is Dr. Harvey Hanlon. He's incredible, past AOA president. But honestly, the thing I love most about you, Harvey, is how good you are with all of us and willing to share with us. We love you.
Thank
you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.